Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome once again to the live webcast. We're back. We missed you all last week, but we were both travelling. And it's good to be back in our own homes with our own families. And thank you once again for joining us. Sorry for the slight delay then, but we just had a slight technical issue. We hope we've ironed out. But Barry, if you talk and tell us about Finland, we'll then discover if we've still got the crackle on your line. But so you're back from Finland.
Yes, I am back. Is there crackling in my voice or does
that's
sound
good? That's okay. Much better.
Well, that's great. And then, you know, just kick me off again if I'm misbehaving technically. But yes, everything went great in Finland. I just came back from being 13 days with my dear friend Pekka and Father Heart Ministries in Finland. And did two conferences. The first one was an open conference and the first weekend, second weekend was the Growing in Sonship weekend. So that was awesome. And it's funny because the last it was my first international ministry trip since COVID, and my last trip before COVID was Finland. So kind of like bookends on COVID, the 2.5 years of not being able to travel. So that was good. Traveling now is a little bit more of a challenge with all the dynamics as far as airports and delays and all that. But, you know, I'm home and you're home and yeah. I'm getting used to the timeline, the time zone that I'm in now. I'm up at 3 a.m. this morning, but you know, gradually I'm sure that I'll get to my normal time, which is 5 a.m. So that's not that much of a difference. So but how about you?
Just before we move on, you of course had a very important highlight on your last evening in Finland.
Tell us about
that, because we need to hear this.
Wow. Okay. Yes. I'm a good sport for sure. But when I was there, Finland was hosting the World Hockey Championships. And of course, anybody who knows Canadians, we're pretty crazy about hockey. And I think from what I saw, even, you know, just talking to my friends in Finland, I think Finnish people are as much focused and excited about hockey as Canadians. So it just happened, you know, they were hosting the World Championships probably about 150 kilometers away from where we were. And guess who was in the gold medal game? It was Canada versus Finland. And so that was a Sunday night, my last night in Finland. So all the meetings were over by the time I was watching it in my hotel room. But, you know, it was one of those things, you know, my loyalties were divided from, you know, being a long-standing Canadian hockey fan to being with my friends in Finland, and they were hosting, and it ended up going into overtime, and good on Finland, they won in overtime and they got the gold medal. So I congratulated them on Facebook, and so that's kind of how it is. And you know what's the chances that I said to Anne when I got home, my wife, I just said, I don't think this would ever happen again, where I'm in a host country in a gold medal game with us in the host country. So, you know, it's one of those things that you'll kind of remember for a while. How about you now? Back to you. I mean, I don't think England was in something and lost while you were away, were they?
Well, we got knocked out of the hockey tournament fairly early stage, which would be expected, I think. But I did read that the next World Championships will be partly hosted by Great Britain. So...
Wow.
That's interesting. But
very good.
I have no idea what sporting events took place while I was away, because I don't sort of follow that. But anyway, I was in Uganda last week, first time there for 3 years. I went to Motamioni, which is the retreat center on the edge of the River Nile. Beautiful place, just stunningly beautiful, very peaceful. And I just spent a week with Ingrid and her team there. They've had 2 years of lockdown like the rest of the world, but it's been quite tough and challenging, and the team just needed a bit of revisioning, and it was just great. It just felt like as the week went on, there was just life coming back, and people's faces were changing, their eyes were changing, and it just felt, you know, very, very positive just to sort of be able to sow into their lives as they are beginning to get going with their programs once again. You know, they've had 2 years where they've not been able to do any programs at the center. They've not been able to do any youth schools at the youth center. They've not been able to have people come through. And it's been very, very difficult. And they're just starting to have programs again. So it was just very good. It was just great to be there with them and really just encourage them. So it all went well. I flew out on the Saturday before, you know, week last Saturday. My plane leaving Heathrow was 2 hours late, and I had a 2 hour, 20 minute connection in Doha. So we made up half an hour on the flight. So I had a 40 minute connection. And when I got off the plane, I was told when I was on the plane that there would be someone waiting at the entrance to the plane to take me to my next flight. Well, when I came off the plane, there were people with signs for everywhere in the world but Entebbe. So I legged it to a screen. I found out where the gate was. It was the other end of the airport. And I just legged it. I mean, I just ran like there was no tomorrow and, you know, and I got to the gate for the flight to Entebbe. I think I was within the last 5 or 10 people to get there, and literally 5 minutes to spare. Got to Entebbe, and of course you watch all the luggage going round and round and round, and I think, no, 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 that's not mine, that's not mine, that's not mine. And then because it's Africa, after a while the belt stops, and two guys appeared underneath the rubber flaps, you know. And they came and said, that's it, folks. And I think, okay. So my luggage caught me up 2 days later, which was, you know, bearable, not too bad. But fortunately, on the way home, no problems, all well. Got home yesterday morning after an overnight flight, straight home to the family with my three grandsons, and had 24 hours with them before they left for home this morning. So, yeah. All good, all good.
But it's action packed.
It's fun, isn't it?
I mean, and just kind of for me, it was just, of course, because we're doing what we're doing together here, and we've done it like this for so long. And then, you know, both of Abba's boys are, you know, just going off in the same time in different continents. So it was, I was just kind of I chuckled about that. And I mean, and again, we're both fairly fresh coming back. I mean, I arrived home late Monday night. And so I think when you factor in the difference between the UK time and Eastern Standard Time, I think I beat you home by about five or six hours. mine was it ended up being an overnight flight. In the sense it wasn't overnight, but for my body clock, it was, you know, because yes. I think I got home at 6 a.m. Finland time. But we're back, and, you know, we're going to talk about freedom. And and thank you. You know, and again, I just want to say this because I so appreciate everyone that actually comes out and you know every week, and of course some don't do it every week. But I think Mark and I are just totally blown away that, you know, after 13 years of doing this, that there are still people who want to actually listen. And again, Mark, you get a chance to travel more than I do, but, you know, even being in Finland and people coming up to me and talking about, you know, they're on the webcasts and all that, you know, it just really means a lot. So, thank you, everybody. Anybody who's watching live and again, it's not just live, but if you are watching the recordings afterwards, which there are more people that do that, but we do appreciate it.
Yep, we do. So tonight we're going to have a bit of a discussion on freedom. I've just got one or two thoughts I want to share, and then I'll bring Barry back in, and we'll just see where it goes. Is that okay, Barry?
Sounds great, mate.
Do you want to pray for us, my friend?
Yes. Thank you, Father, that it is for freedom that Christ set us free, the love of freedom. And so as we just hear your heart tonight, Abba, we just ask that Yeah, that it, that what we talk about and what we share, and even the essence of you in us that is manifest, that it would just I just see a picture of ripple effects kind of just going out like around the world, and it just wherever your sons and daughters are, whether they're listening live or afterwards, that that freedom would come to each and every one of us in a new way, Father. We just you just love your kids to be free. So as Mark just shares what's on his heart, and then what, you know, just our conversation, and anything we do to pray, Father, we trust that you will lead us by your Spirit. Trust that we pray for open hearts, and just for even a really godly expectation that that we will all step into a different realm of freedom tonight than we had when we woke up this morning. So, thank you, Jesus. For making all this possible and for declaring whom the Son sets free, free is free indeed. We say amen to that.
Amen. Thanks, Barry. I'll see you in a few minutes.
All righty.
So, freedom. I think this is such an important topic. And the thing is, it's something that really eludes us. It's something that we really miss out on. You see, I think there's two parts of our inheritance that are really key, and they're two things that the enemy really wants to steal from us. One of them is a life of rest, and the other is a life of freedom. And if the enemy can steal our rest and our freedom, then he pretty much makes us ineffective. But once we come into a place of freedom, once we come into a place of rest, you know, that's when we really can, I believe, really see change and transformation and things happen. And so freedom is just so important. And, you know, as Barry's just said in his prayer, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. You know, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And, you know, these are just so such important verses for us. And it's you know, when we read John chapter 8, verse 31 to 36, Jesus says, you know, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. And if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And, you know, that tells me that as sons and daughters, there's supposed to be a freedom that comes into our heart. There's supposed to be a growing level of freedom that we live in, because sonship and freedom go together. 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You see, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, comes into our life, comes into our heart, and wants us to live in freedom. He enables us to be free and to live in freedom. You know, and the Holy Spirit, we read in Galatians and Romans, it's the Spirit that comes into our heart that enables us to cry, Abba. So for me, sonship and freedom really go together. They're just tied up. The more we live as sons and daughters, the freer we will become. That's not to say we won't have issues, we won't have challenges, we won't have struggles, but there'll be something inside of us that will be free. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit, and then bring Barry back in so we can discuss this a bit together. But, you know, one of the things I've discovered about freedom, and it really stems from that verse, Galatians 5, verse 1, which, again, Barry quoted in his prayer. It's for freedom that Christ set us free. And that verse used to really annoy me, because, of course, it's for freedom. You know, well, why say it's for freedom that you've been set free? What else have you been set free for? You know, and I didn't really, it kind of annoyed me. It's kind of like, well, that's, you know, it's almost an unnecessary thing to say. But then I was praying about it one day, and I felt like the Father give me a bit more of a bigger picture about what Paul was really saying in that verse. And to kind of just explain that for us, I want to go back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, where this is the story of the Israelite nation. And they're in Egypt, and they've become slaves. you know, first of all, when they went to Egypt, they went there because there was a famine in the land, and Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt. And when his brothers came to Egypt for food, they didn't recognize Joseph, but of course he recognized them. And he tested their hearts, and eventually they came to live in Egypt, and he provided for them. But many years later, hundreds of years later, this family has now grown to be a big nation, and they've become slaves because they grew too strong. And so the current Pharaoh, he made them all slaves. But this is what it says in Exodus 2, verse 23. During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Then in chapter 3, verse 7, the Lord said, I've seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about the suffering. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, he says to Moses. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And then in verse 17 of chapter 3, I've promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And there it is. There's the promise of freedom for this nation. And what really struck me when I read that account is they had to be set free from something in order to be free to be something or to be someone. They had to be set free from their prison of Egypt in order that they could be free to enjoy the promised land. And that, I believe, is so true. That speaks so much to me about the freedom that the Father wants us to enjoy. That, and that's how I now interpret Galatians 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. And the way I interpret it now in the light of this story, this revelation, I saw something in Exodus, is it is for freedom for us to be and live as sons and daughters. It's for freedom to be sons and daughters that we were set free from the life of sin and the life of slavery. You see, we're always set free from something in order to be free to be someone. One of the saddest things in this country, and it's probably the same in many countries around the world, is the reoffending rate for prisoners. 34% of the prisoners released in the UK will reoffend within 12 months of being set free from prison. 34%. That goes up to 75% within 5 years. So 75, three quarters of the prisoners that are released from prison in the UK, three quarters of them will reoffend within 5 years. Those are terribly sad, tragic statistics. And I think, you know, one of the reasons why is when people are released from prison, you know, they can stand outside the prison building and they can look at the prison and they can say, look what I've been set free from. You know, I've served my time. I've done, you know, my sentence. I'm now free. I'm free of prison. I'm free of that cell. I'm free of the prison food. I'm free of 1 hour exercise a day. And they can stand and look at that prison and say, that's what I am free from. And of course, that's true. That's a great freedom to be set free from prison, to be released from prison. It's a great freedom. But if all they do is look at the prison that they've been set free from, eventually, I believe they get sucked back into it. See, what they don't do is they don't turn around and look the other way and say, yeah, that's the past. I've been set free from that. But what have I been set free to become? Who have I been set free to become? And the sad tragedy, I think, of released offenders is they don't have any vision or any purpose for what they want to do with their life going forward. And so they get dragged back into a life of crime. And I think it can be similar for us, that we can stand outside of the prison of our sin. We can stand outside of the prison of that slavery, that orphan-hearted way. You know, we've been set free from that, and that's so good. But if we don't turn around and say, that's the past, that's what I'm free from, what am I free to be? Who am I free to be? You know, if we don't make that decision to turn around and walk in a different direction, then I believe we can quite easily get sucked back into the life of slavery, which Paul talks about in Galatians. You know, you're no longer slaves. You've been set free. You've got the Holy Spirit that enables you to cry, Abba. You know, and it says, don't turn again. Don't fall back into a life of slavery. And for me, this is such an important point, such an important thing for us to understand, is that being set free from something is only half the story. The other half, and the more exciting half, and probably the bigger half, is we are actually set free from something in order to be free to be someone. And so when I talk about freedom, I don't want to talk about what I've been set free from, which is wonderful and great. I want to talk about what I've been set free to be, who I've been set free to be. I want to talk about the freedom that comes into my heart as a son, that I'm called to walk as Jesus walked, to live as Jesus walked. I'm called to live that life seeking the Father's will and only doing what the Father has in mind. You know, I've come to realize that a free heart is not someone who does what they like. That's not freedom. You know, we can look at the super rich and celebrities, endless money, you know, billionaires. Does that buy them happiness? Does that buy them freedom? No. It might buy them a private jet. It might buy them a nice holiday, but it doesn't buy freedom for their hearts. And in fact, the super rich are probably amongst the most despairing people on the planet. And that's very sad. That's very tragic that they've got all of that money. They can do what they like, but they're not free. So freedom is not the ability to do as we wish. You know, in the UK, I use this illustration because I think it helps. In the UK, we drive on the left-hand side of the road. I know many of you other people in other countries, you drive on the right-hand side of the road, but the same would apply, what I'm going to say. We drive on the left, and you know, every time I get into my car, In theory, I have a choice to make. You know, which side of the road am I going to drive on? I am free in this country. I am free to drive on the right-hand side of the road, which for us is the wrong side. You know, I'm free to do that. I'm totally free to do that. But if I do, it's going to have consequences. You know, pretty serious ones. You know, before going a few hundred meters, I could have an accident. I could injure people. I could kill people. So I'm free to do that. But because I know that we drive on the left, and because that's how I've always done it and probably always will do it in this country, you know, I know that is something I have to comply with for my safety and for other people's safety. So, yeah, I'm free to do what I like, but if I do, it's going to have consequences. And, you know, that's not the freedom the Father is promising us. I really believe that true freedom is a totally submitted heart. See, that's what Jesus had. Jesus had a totally submitted heart to the will of his Father. And that total submission was what gave him total freedom. See, that is so completely different to the way the world thinks. The world doesn't believe that submission leads to freedom. But the kingdom, in the kingdom, that is the doorway to freedom, is total submission to the will of the Father. And so that's the first thing that I really wanted to say about freedom, is that we are always free from something in order to be free to be someone, in order to be free to live in the freedom that the Father has for us. The fruit, the second thing I want to say about this, is the fruit of a free life is in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, faithfulness. All of those things, they are the fruit of a free life. When we are totally submitted to the will of the Father, when we're totally living in that spirit of sonship, where the Spirit within us cries, Abba, where the Spirit within us sets us free, the fruit of a free life is what we call the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, etc. You see, that's the promise that the Father has for us, is that when we live in the Spirit, which is the spirit of sonship, we will produce the fruit of that Spirit, because we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. And so, you know, we don't, my encouragement is, don't strive to produce the fruit of the Spirit, but just let it grow within you as you live this life of total submission to the Father. And you will surprise yourself. You will be surprised by the fruit you see in your life. There's some beautiful promises in Scripture, which I just want to mention. And you've probably heard me mention these verses before, but Job 36, verse 16, Job writes this: he is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from restriction, to the comfort of your table laden with choice food. And that's, I believe, a promise that the Father has for all of us, is he wants to draw us away from the jaws of distress into a wide open space. And in that wide open space, there is the comfort of a table laden with good things. The word that's used there, wooing, it's a very romantic word. You know, he is wooing you away from a place of restriction and is drawing you with love into this place that is wide open. And so I just encourage you to give yourself to find the wide open space. And the last thing I just want to say about freedom before I bring Barry back in a minute is, you know, I started off talking about the people of Israel who become slaves in Egypt. And the Father says, God says, I've heard your cry, I'm concerned about you, and I'm going to bring you out of that place into a land flowing with milk and honey. And what I simply want to say about that is, originally, Egypt was a place of freedom and provision and blessing, but it became a prison. And there are seasons in our life where we can come into a new place of freedom. My caution is, don't let that place of freedom turn out or end up being a prison. See, Egypt was good at the beginning. Egypt was a place of blessing, a place of freedom, a place of provision. It was a place of safety. But it became a prison. And it's very easy for us to settle And what was once a place of freedom can become a prison. And the way we stop that happening is by just continually allowing the Father to speak to us, seeking fresh revelation, seeking to go deeper and deeper into the Father's heart, so that we constantly discover more and more and more of what we have been set free, or who we have been set free to become. So I'm just going to bring Barry back on, and we'll just continue this discussion together. So Barry, add your thoughts. Tell us what freedom really is.
Well, what you said was great. I say amen to everything you said. We're in lockstep with all of this stuff. I think one of the things that you said, it was a scripture that I looked up while you were speaking, because I felt like, you know, it is important for us to talk about freedom in a way that it's not just about what I want, you know, and like I want to do what I want. I don't care how it impacts anybody else, that kind of thing, right? It feels, and it's just like in essence, the freedom that God has for us is the freedom that, and I like how you said that, having a submitted heart, right? Because it actually then it doesn't become like self-centered, selfish. You know, I don't care what who I hurt type of thing. In 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9, it says, it is talking about freedom. It says, but you must be careful so that your freedom does not cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble. Right. Yeah. And so when I was thinking about that, it's just like how in a sense, like Jesus, when you think about when he in Philippians 2, it talks about how he humbled himself and he took on the form of a servant, and he did not, you know, consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he had this heart where it was like he had rights. Right. Mm-hmm. He was the Son of the living God, seated at the right hand of the Father, you know, in all things. Consist in him, like Amy, but he actually, for love's sake, it totally caused him to lay down those, in the sense of God rights, and become a God man. And you know, when I think about freedom, if the Father wants us free, he wants us to be who he created us to be. He wants us to dream impossible dreams. He wants us to really be thinking outside of those barriers and boundaries. Like oftentimes when I think of freedom, because of what Jesus said, right, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, is that we are free, but there's no prison door on ourselves, because we're free. Jesus blew off the doors when he died and rose again, and we, you know, entered his kingdom. But it's just like, it's that mindset again, like when you were talking about the prisoners, and how they, you know, 75% in 5 years can reoffend. You know, that's a high number. And you know, one of the things that I've heard about why that happens is that oftentimes people have a hard time with freedom. They have because you have choices now, right? When you're in a prison cell, it's predictable. You know, 3 square meals a day. You get your walk in the yard. And, you know, even though you are in prison, that, you know, it is something, there is a familiarity. I won't say a comfort, because it isn't a comfort, but there's a familiarity, a predictability. And, you know, as, you know, you talked about going into the open spaces, I think the open spaces are such that, you know, when there's so many choices, do I go left? Do I go right? You know, do I lie down? Do I run ahead? And so I think, you know, the more that we are able to, you know, kind of have the courage to actually say, Father, I want to be free, and what does that mean? And of course, understanding that the revelation of love, that the reason why God wants us free, and of course it's for freedom's sake, but like you said, you know, that's obvious, but it's because he loves us, and he wants us not to be in a place where we are shackled, you know, with our own bondage, you know, and of course with the bondage of sin. And it's like to being able to come to a place where we don't let our liberty, you know, cause others to stumble, right? We like Jesus, we begin to walk in that freedom, but then oftentimes we will lay down our life and sacrifice our own rights for the sake of one another. And, you know, I was thinking of 1 Corinthians 13, starting at verse 4. And just this is the description of love. And so I think even in the context of freedom, living a free life, it's just like when you talked about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Then it's like this is the filter system in which we can live a free life, right? And love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. There you go. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And so I really believe, though, when the Father in his amazing love just overwhelms us and permissions us to maybe think outside of the boxes of our own prison cells, our own understanding, I think it's amazing. You know, because when you think about, Romans 12, where verse 1 says, do not be in view of God's tender mercies, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, as holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonably act of worship. And then he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know the acceptable will of God. And so then, when we talk about this freedom that such a great job of explaining, you understand that transformation in, the Greek word is, the root is metamorphosis, which is really talking about the transformation of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. And I think, and so in essence, this is my thought. What does freedom look like? You talked about the Egyptians, what's the difference between a caterpillar and a butterfly? I mean, the same being, right? The same DNA, but something happens in the transformation process. And you think about the perspective of a caterpillar, roaming around on the blades of grass, and that's as high as they get. And then the perspective of a butterfly that can, go anywhere. And of course, I'm not sure if you have butterflies like this in England or in Europe, but we have what's called monarch butterflies. And they're known to travel in a season from Mexico up to States and Canada. I mean, that's a long way. So you think about how far could a caterpillar get, inching along. It would take a long time to get to Canada from Mexico. So I think that there is something in the heart of the Father that when love comes, it permissions us, but it humbles us in such a way that it's not about us demanding our rights. And, and I think that's where, when what you were saying, it's so powerful, understanding that walking in freedom doesn't mean a self-centered life. Mm-hmm. It's actually, in essence, it's the opposite. Then, we have the freedom to lay our lives down and not demand our rights for love's sake, just like God not only has done, but he continues to do in the way he loves us. So anyway, I hope that it sounded like maybe a bit of a preach, but that was my response, bro.
Yeah, it's good, Barry. Thank you. I think, we're made in God's image. And of course, God is totally free, isn't he? And so if we're made in his image, then freedom is what we were, that's what we were born to be. But kind of, we all know it's got lost along the way somewhere. But I think the greatest gift that God gave us in creation was the gift of free will. And that's a huge risk. God took a risk, didn't he? When he created us with free will, that's a risk, because you can either take the right choice or the wrong choice, and we all know what happened. But that has to happen. We have to have that gift, because without that gift, we wouldn't be able to love. Because love always is a choice. Love is always us exercising our free will. We choose to love. We're not coerced to love.
Yeah.
And so, God wanted us to have the freedom to choose to love him, to choose to walk in his ways. And, we all know the story, of course. Adam and his wife, they didn't choose that. They chose another pathway. But love always gives that choice. And Gandhi said this, And I think it's quite a lot of wisdom in it. Gandhi said, freedom is not worth having if it doesn't give you the freedom to make mistakes. And, you know, we all make mistakes, don't we? We go through life, we all make mistakes. Things happen, yeah. We make the wrong choices. And yet that's actually, you know, one of the things I think we can sometimes feel is that our mistakes disqualify us. And that's our experience. Mm. That's been our experience in the world. That's been our experience in churches, that, you know, we make a mistake and we're written off, we're disqualified. But actually the Father never disqualifies his children. You know, yeah, we've used our freedom and we've perhaps made the wrong choice, but the Father is always wooing us and drawing us back to him. And the thing that I've realized is, you know, our mistakes do not disqualify us. We can learn from them, you know, and the Father wants us to learn from them.
Yeah.
But we're never written off. And, you know, I just want to say, maybe by way of encouragement, maybe this will speak to a few of you guys, is, you know, if you've made a mistake and you're living in the condemnation of that mistake, you know, and you kind of think, oh, you've blown it, you know, you've used your freedom and you made a mistake and you're feeling condemned, I just want to say to you, the Father does not condemn. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, for the Spirit of the law of life has set us free. And, you know, I just want to say, if you're in that place of feeling condemned, you know, just allow the Father, just bring it to the Father and allow him just to speak again. And, you know, yeah, there may be lessons to learn, there may be consequences, but he is loving. And he will draw you back into that place where the condemnation and the shame can go, and you can step out again in your freedom. Because, you know, that happens to us all at different stages of our life, at different seasons, and we kind of feel like we've blown it. But, you know, that is the consequence in a sense of freedom. It gives us the choice to make mistakes. It gives us the ability to make mistakes, but it also gives us the opportunity to choose the path of life. The other day when I was in Uganda, I was just prompted to talk about Jeremiah 6 verse 16. You know, stand at the crossroads, stop at the crossroads, pause, you know, don't be so busy with life that you miss the crossroads, but stop at the crossroads and ask where the ancient way is and walk in it, and that will give you rest for your souls. And, you know, I just feel there are times when we just need to stop, we need to pause, and we need to say, Father, where's the path? Where's the path? And it might not be the highway, it might be a bumpy old country pathway, but if that's his path for you, take it, because that will be the path of life. And when you walk that way, you know, when you choose the ancient paths, it's a path that will always lead you to freedom. And the sad thing about Jeremiah 6:16 is, you know, that, you know, God gives this instruction to the people, stop at the crossroads, choose the ancient ways and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. The very next sentence is, but you chose not to. And that's very sad, you know, and my encouragement is, let's just pause and just look for that path of freedom, that path that leads us into life. Let's not be like the people Jeremiah was talking to who couldn't make that decision. Maybe the other path looked a bit more exciting, a bit faster, a bit smoother, but the Father says, just stop and ask where the ancient path is, because that is the way that leads us to freedom. And, you know, sometimes the most popular way is not the way that brings freedom to our heart. And, you know, I just encourage you to just take that opportunity, because whenever you walk on that path of life, you begin to experience what Jesus said in John 10, you know, I've come that you might have life and life in all its abundance. And to me, that is freedom. You know, that's freedom. that life in abundance that he promises us.
Amen to that. And, you know, in John 10:10, when he said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and have it to the full. From what I understand, the Greek word for destroy is render useless. So it's not even destroy in the sense it's just like the enemy's, you know, his strategy. In essence, you know, like he's terrified of you and I, not because of our greatness, but because of our union with Jesus. And so when he sees us, he sees God himself reflecting through us. And we don't necessarily, you know, most times I think we probably miss that. You know, we get so focused on our own shortcomings that we really don't know at the core of our being that we are joined with Jesus forever. And when, you know, we are in Jesus and Jesus is in the Father, so the Father is in us. And so this rendering useless, and this is where, you know, when Jesus talked about the father of lies in John 8:41-44, he said that when he lies, he speaks his native language. And so, you know, he's always trying to twist and just distort our image of God and who God created us to be. And he is a master legalist, and he knows the scriptures better than we do. And even Jesus, you know, when he came out of the waters of baptism, right? And after hearing the affirmation from his father, immediately he goes into the wilderness. And after 40 days of fasting, then the tempter comes to him. And what does he even tempt him on? It but his identity, his sonship, right? The father sent him into the wilderness with, this is my son whom I love and whom I'm well pleased. And then what does the enemy do? If you are the Son of God, prove it. And so I think this idea of coming into freedom and not listening to the lies of the enemy and they say, well, you know, who, like, in essence, like, how can you say you're a son of God? You know, what did you do last Wednesday at 3 o'clock when you had a discouraging thought? You know, he just tries to ensnare us again. And, you know, and that's why Paul said, like, don't get entangled with the yoke of slavery. Don't go there again. Yeah. Stay free. And I think that's where, you know, when we know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is absolute liberty. There is absolute freedom. And like Mark, what you said is amazing. Like, you know, oftentimes when we are free, we're free to make mistakes. And you know, I think some people are afraid of that. You know, it's like, again, the predictability of being in a prison cell. And I just think even tonight, the Papa just wants to free us to actually have the courage to permission ourselves just make free choices. And you know, even the prodigal son in the story, he made some deliberate bad choices. I mean, it wasn't like he made a mistake. Yeah. He actually was intentional about saying, I want my inheritance. I want it now. In essence, he was saying, I wish you were dead. I want my money. And yet, what did love do? The father actually gave him. He had every legal right to not give this son the inheritance, to actually beat him for such a disrespect. But, you know, he actually, in a sense, financed his son's rebellion by giving him his inheritance premature. And even when he, you know, takes the wrong path, ends up in a pig pen, you know, thinking, what am I thinking? Even when he came home, he didn't come home with any great noble motivation. Like, he didn't say, well, I humiliated my father. I just want to get right with my dad. He just said, well, the servants eat more than what I'm eating, so maybe I can become a servant. And yet the father is so opportunistic in the way that, you know, any heart that turns toward him, he is just all over that. And he runs to us at every chance. So, yeah, I just encourage you, you know, maybe when we transition into prayer, that if there's any even, maybe you're at a place where the scary place of the open spaces is a bit scary for you. It's like, what if I make a mistake? Well, you're loved in it. Just, you know, do your best. I mean, oftentimes when I talk to people and it's almost even hindsight, they say, well, I made the wrong choice. And I just say, okay, so at the moment when you made that choice, you know, were you really trying to make the right choice? Well, yeah. Well, that's all you can do at the time. It's okay, you know, and let God redeem that in whatever way he does. So anyway, I think that's, I hope we can get to encourage people about that.
Yeah, sure. I just finish with a little quick story, and then let's pray together, Barry. But you know, Romans 8 verse 18, it talks about creation is waiting in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. It's like, it says creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in the hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. You know, a powerful verse about, you know, the transformation that can take place in creation when we live as sons and daughters. Now you think, how is that connected? But it's just somehow, as we become free, as we live free, we're going to affect creation around us. And heard this wonderful story in Uganda of, you know, someone came on to the schools there, their life was transformed, went back to their village, and, you know, they were living in quite extreme poverty, you know, didn't have very much, didn't have anything, and had a few cows. And these cows produced milk, but not very much. And so this person came home from the Father Heart School and thought, well, if I'm free, if I'm a son, and if creation is going to be transformed by my freedom, then I'm going to speak to my cows and tell them how lovely they are and how wonderful they are. And that's what they did. He started speaking to his cows and saying, you cows are lovely, you're marvelous, you're wonderful, I love you so much. And do you know what? Their milk yields tripled. You know, just instantly, overnight, the next day.
That's amazing.
You know, that little bit of creation found freedom and was able to provide more financial support for the family. You know, and you think, isn't that just the Father? Isn't that just what he does, you know? And I just think, you know, there's going to be stories like that. And, you know, you and I are going to be the ones telling them from our own experience. So yes. Why don't we just pray, Barry, just for a greater freedom for all of us, yeah. You know, me and you included. Start with us, eh?
Absolutely.
And, you know, just the glorious freedom of the sons of God to be revealed. Freedom. To be revealed, yeah. In our hearts, that we know what we're set free from, yeah. And we know what we're free to be. So, Father, we just thank you that you want your children to be free. And yeah. I just pray, Father, that for all my brothers and sisters watching this video, Father, that there would be just an incredible sense of freedom in our hearts, that we would realize, we would know that the Spirit has set us free, that the Spirit has set us free, and this Holy Spirit is a spirit of sonship, it's a spirit of freedom, it's a spirit that enables us to cry, Abba, God, you really are my dad. And just this revelation of freedom would lead us to submit our hearts to you in a greater way. That we would find, yes. Freedom in submission. Because, Father, that's when we come to rely and depend on who you are, rather than on our own strength and our own striving and our own performance. So, Father, I just pray for the joy, yes. And the freedom to come into our hearts tonight. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Father. Yes, Father. Yeah, Father, we just thank you that I just get this picture of a little 2-year-old just trying to walk and making choices and stumbling and falling and getting up again, and just the parent is just so loving and so encouraging, so patient, and just saying, you can do it, you can do it, I believe in you. And I believe that's what you're doing to us, Father, that, you know, just even in this, the choices that we make, you know, so many times people want to know what your plan is for them, and they're afraid to make a mistake in their own journey. And I just feel like the Father's just really wants to encourage you tonight that, yeah, just follow your heart, you know, open your heart up to your dreams, and don't be afraid to make a mistake. And if there are mistakes, there's grace for that, there's mercy, there's forgiveness, there's restoration, and just go for it. And so, Father, we Yeah, I just pray that by your Holy Spirit, that each and every one of us, including Mark and I, that we would just come into a deeper sense of that freedom, the glorious freedom of the children of God, and that we would be aware of, and I love that story of that speaking to those cows, that we would be aware that we affect creation around us when we walk in this glorious freedom. So, Father, I just pray a blessing on your sons and your daughters to be able to have that metamorphosis, that transformation from being a caterpillar into a butterfly, and that they would soar into the heights. And I just think of, this kind of speaks of the submitted heart, the yielded vessel, where the promise is those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint. And it's as we wait, and as we yield to the Holy Spirit, and as we hear God speak to us and encourage us, like, don't be afraid, you know, go for it, you know, and be free. And so, Father, I just pray maybe even tonight, maybe for some people that the step would be just giving themselves permission to be free and to have choices, and that you would just lead us into the wide and open spaces. Mm.
Yeah, thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Father, we do thank you for what you've set us free from. So grateful for that, Father. But I just pray that you would turn our eyes so that we behold all that we have been set free to become. And that you would lead us into that becoming sons and daughters, rather than focusing on the prison that we've been set free from. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love for us, so freely given. And may our lives just become that testimony of joy and freedom. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Wow. Thanks, Barry.
Amen. Hey, bro, that was great. Even though, you know, we're a little bit, maybe a little bit road weary with a long travel days, I just felt like the Lord really encouraged us tonight. At least me, I feel encouraged and strengthened. So,
yeah, a bit ragged around the edges, but here we are. We'll be back.
Here we are. Thanks everybody for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. And looking forward to that. So, thanks one and all. Bless you. Have a good week.